Callie said. He heard me, or heard something. I dashed back over the hill to where I'd left the light van. Jabe snorted. Did he come out after you with a big metal cleaver? No, Callie shrugged. Well, if he did, I didn't see. She bit her lip. But now that I think about it, earlier, I did see something. Annalene was almost afraid to ask. What? Well, he was sitting, like I said, with his back to me. And he was in front of this trunk. And I think he was holding something. Something special, I think. He talked about putting it away, and then he did. Jabe stared. What was it? If I knew that, I would have told you, Callie said. Idiot. Annalene sat back underneath the spell. And yet when I think about her, I have to consider. She looked up and sputtered. What in the great pit is that supposed to mean? You sure he didn't say any more? Any more about you mean? Callie! No, Callie said, leaning dejectedly with her elbow against the table. And he didn't say anything at all about me. Jabe smirked. The ingratitude. After you let him save you and all. Callie grumbled. Yeah. Annalene struggled to take it all in. And you say there was no one else there? I don't think there was, but I don't know. Annalene thought. He could have been speaking to someone on a comm system, yes, although transmissions from the Junlund were often problematic. Or he could have been dictating. Or he could have that secret family he was talking about. Was that what Callie had seen him holding? Some possession that reminded him of the family he'd left behind? That might explain some of the sadness that seemed to hang over him at times. Jabe had another explanation. He sounds deranged, he said, rising with his dishes. Crazy kook, sitting in the wilderness, talking to himself. You don't know that, Annalene said. And that crazy kook helped save us here. And help me track you down to the canyon. Where I was in no danger at all, Jabe said, wiping his hands. You were in worse trouble out there alone with him. Annalene looked down. We weren't very alone when the Tuscans showed up. I mean, besides that, Jabe said. What do you know about this guy? Not enough, evidently. Annalene stopped to reflect. After a few moments, she laughed. Don't you see, Callie? He heard you. He knew you were out there. That was all for your benefit. Callie rose from the table. Think that if you want, but I think Ben Kenobi thinks about you. She patted her mother on the back as she passed. Annalene put her head in her hands. I can't believe this. I've raised a sadist and a voyeur. Are both my children insane? Standing in the open doorway with his sister, Jabe answered. I don't know, Mom. You're the one who took off after the Tuscans with the crazy man. As her kids headed off to work, Annalene sat motionless at the table. He's not crazy, she said, her face twisting into a frown. He just talks to himself. Setting aside her cup, she decided the matter deserved more thought. Then, she promptly fell asleep in the chair.
Chapter 23.
King of the Junlund! Orin just nodded and waved as the family of four cruised past, cheering him as they departed the oasis. There was no use being modest now. The vigilantes had won a historic battle the day before, and word had spread across the region. Orin would see that it reached the Deveronians in Mos Eisley, too. They'd know he'd avenge their partner without delay, and there might yet be hope for the hotel contract. Even after the late-night celebration, Orin had risen early in anticipation of starting his good day as soon as possible. So far, it had exceeded his hopes. Everyone around knew this was the day of the week he kept his office hours in the claim, and many had visited him. The plaudits from his neighbors were nice, but more important, people he'd intended to make calls on were arriving to subscribe to the fund's protection services. Success sells. He hadn't let anything get him down today. Not when Ulbrich had arrived at the claim after breakfast, armed with a new batch of stories with which to bore the clientele. Orin would wait to pitch him again on the settler's call after the man had run out of people to torture. Nor had his expensive meeting with Glomer, the mechanic, bothered him. It was funny that, while most of the damage the Tuscans had done to the claim had already been repaired, the most lasting harm had been caused when his spoiled daughter put Annalene's X-31 into the stone wall. Repairs would park Annalene's land speeder for weeks. Orin would happily loan her a vehicle from his work fleet. But he'd let Vika, whose Sportster was in even worse shape, find her own rides for a while. Maybe slowing down would be good for her. No, the only thing that attested his smile was old number one. His technicians were finding what he'd realized earlier. The vaporator mechanism had survived. Tough things, these pre-tormans. But Danar's precious settings had been lost. The first test vial had produced what Orin judged an absolutely pedestrian cocktail of two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. Later tests yielded no better results and sickened his heart. But sorrow would wait today. Every visitor had brought him something. Business, congratulations, even a sugar cake. And now, as he saw another figure approaching on foot from the southwest, he wondered what good tidings this person brought. Orin squinted. Well, I